Chapter 9. Sablebrand. Agapito could not concentrate. He was waiting for Bran. For months they had been assigned to different fleets. Legion bonds were supposed to supersede those of family, but in those rare cases of legionaries who were birth brothers also, blood ties were inevitably strengthened. He was reading a bullet-pointed list of Zenith 312's defensive capabilities for the fourth time, when the hard-line vox buzzed.
"Agapito," he answered.
His equerry replied,
"Commander Bran is here to see you."
"Send him in,"
said Agapito, and made an effort to look busy. The door whispered open. Bran had come across from the Avenger, so wore his armour. Regulations demanded full battle gear during ship-to-ship transit while they were in an active war zone. But he had his helmet under his arm, the better to display his cocky smile.
"Good evening," said Bran. "Have you an embrace for your brother?"
Agapito was dressed in black trousers and a sleeveless tunic. His arms bulged with muscles, studded with the silvery wink of nerve shunt ports. His pale skin was shadowed by a subcutaneous black carapace. When he stood and clasped Bran's armoured chest to his, it was like hugging a refrigeration unit. Bran stood back and gripped Agapito's shoulder.
"It has been too long. How have you fared without me to watch your back? Still alive, I see.
I am better for hearing that I took my target before you did today."
Bran laughed.
"I still took it."
"You have more than enough to brag about,"
said Agapito.
"Allow me a moment of gloating."
Bran shrugged. His pauldrons whined as they followed the motion.
"All right, you win."
He glanced around.
"Have you done something to this place?"
"My quarters are the same as they ever were."
"You sure?"
said Bran, looking about.
"Something's changed."
Being commanders afforded the brothers large quarters, but although their rooms were not the monastic cells of their line warriors, Bran and Agapito were space marines still, and natives of deliverance at that. So their private chambers were small and austere by the standards of imperial lords. There was no facing on the plasteel walls to disguise the ship's structure. No marble or treated rockcrete, wood or granite, as could be found aboard the ships of other legions. The alloy's dark grey undercoat was unpainted. The lumens and every other device were purely functional. There were no artistic flourishes, and precious little light. Four objects decorated the room. Agapito's rarely worn dress armour stood to attention in a glass case, shining with inlay and decorative engraving so fine it was barely visible on the black ceramite. There was his bolter at rest on a plain stand by his desk. The desk itself was the only thing of obvious non-Kiavaran make, being of rich woods and gloriously carved. Last was a collection of the commander's art. Miniature engravings executed on tiny pieces of silver stood ranked with military precision in a matte black shelving unit. Under magnification, they were marvellous landscapes of the worlds Agapito had visited in his career, 49 thus far. To the unaided eye, they were small squares of bright metal.
"This is new,"
Bran said, patting the desk.
"Pretty big."
"It was a showpiece, made on Varva for the Star Giants."
"I was not there for that one," said Bran. "I did not know the compliance came with furniture."
"The Varvans believed in a race of giants that would descend from the heavens and bring them into the light,"
said Agapito.
"They built palaces in anticipation. The whole planet is littered with ruins built over centuries."
He paused for a moment. The world had affected him.
"They put so much effort into their creations. There was so much hope in their offerings."
He smiled ruefully.
"Though until the day the Star Giants actually came, they were perfectly happy to go about murdering each other over what kind of embellishments the Star Giants might like on their cornices."
Bran shook his head.
The galaxy is an ocean of madness."
"Well, at least it was an easy compliance."
Agapito placed a bowl of fruit and two plain cups of metal on his desk.
"I remember,"
Bran said.
"That was when I was out in the Chavai salient, winning the Avenger.
The assignment of a battle barge to Bran's direct command rankled with Agapito a little. In that humorous, not humorous way, envy can strike at brothers. Technically, the resources under Agapito's command were larger, but Bran's battle barge carried prestige Agapito's cruisers did not. The Raven Guard were not known for jests. Bran still enjoyed teasing his brother.
"You would have to remind me of that," said Agapito. "As long as you are jealous, I will continue to do so," said Bran. "And you are still jealous?"
"I am still jealous," admitted Agapito. "Shall I call someone to remove your armor?"
Bran shook his head.
"I cannot stay long, brother."
"A little while is better than no time. Do you want a drink?"
"Why not?" said Bran.
"Do you think,"
Agapito asked, as he poured out the contents of a small aluminium flask into two mugs,
"that it is going to work?"
"Corvus's plan," said Bran.
He frowned.
"He has never let us down before."
He took a nip of the liquor and pulled a face halfway between appreciative and appalled. The old prison techniques for distilling alcohol had been refined, but old tastes died hard.
"Well, that's exactly as rough as it should be."
"Drink enough of this, and it will get you drunk even now," said Agapito with a glint in his eye.
"You sound like Nathan," said Bran.
"Not me,"
said Agapito. He took a drink.
"Do you think it will work? Will they capitulate if we take Zenith 312?
Bran looked uneasy.
"I am uncomfortable questioning Korax, even in private with you."
"What is the point in being commanders if we follow orders blindly?"
said Agapito.
"Well," said Bran reluctantly, "they will not fall for the same trick again. Whichever way we do this, we are in for a hard fight. If Corvus's plan works, it offers the best outcome for the rapid integration of this system into the Imperium, with the lowest casualties and the least damage to its material structure."
"That is a given," said Agapito.
"But what if it does not work?
We'll be stuck here for months, fighting a well-organized enemy."
He drained his cup and gasped. Space Marine physiology could take most toxins in its stride, but penal liquor, enhanced by mankind's finest minds, set it a challenge.
"It better work, then," said Bran.
"Did you see his face when they destroyed their own city? He hid it, but he was appalled. He is getting too caught up in all of this. We have never rested, not since the Emperor came. Straight from the rebellion into enhancement, then the crusade. And he had it worse. Even he has to have limits. He has been tested. He is going to go too far to prove himself."
"What are you driving at, brother?"
Agapito's line of thought was borderline sedition, but it came from the heart. Before Korax had become their gene father, he had been their friend.
"He has too much to prove. That enlightenment works, that the Imperium can be compassionate, that war can be bloodless, that tyrants must fall, and, overall, that the Emperor's way is the right way."
"Are you saying the Emperor's plan is not for the best?"
said Bran carefully.
"What do you think?"
said Agapito with a frown.
"Obviously, it is the right way. The Crusade is everything. But we hold back sometimes when other legions do not, for fear of hurting the innocent. I am proud of that fact. But this is one of those times when we should not. Admiral Fenk thinks Korax is wrong. He was shaking with fury when he left yesterday's briefing."
"I saw," said Bran. "But there is no other viable plan."
"There is Fenk's plan, of attacking en masse now,"
said Agapito.
"I ask you, brother, what if the attack on Zenith 312 goes wrong? What then? By then it would be too late. Fenk might be right."
Bran set down his empty cup.
"Brother, it will not go wrong."
The hard line buzzed again, preventing further discussion. Agapito's equerry was shouting at someone. The door opened. A legionary in full armour stepped inside.
"I'm sorry, Brother Commander," said Agapito's equerry. "He would not listen. I will remove him."
"Wait," said Agapito. "What are you doing here, Pex?" He stood from the table.
"Brother Commander," said Pex, "I must speak with you now."
"Pex," said Bran.
"Fedam Pex? Hey, it is good to see you."
Pex looked sidelong at Bran. It was a furtive look, bizarre when performed by a space marine in battle plate.
"I will come back later," Pex said quietly. "I am sorry to interrupt."
"You are here now," said Agapito. "You know my brother. What is wrong?"
Pex brought his hands up to his helm hesitantly.
"It is this," he said.
He unclasped his helm. He kept his face towards the ground, then slowly looked up. His skin had gone a luminous white. His eyes had become black orbs of jet. In Korax's legion, this change to resemble the Primarch so long after apotheosis was no cause for joy.
"Emperor's throne, Pex," said Agapito. "Your behavior during the attack was strange, I thought, but this..." "Sablebrand," said Bran. "How long?"
"A week," said Pex.
The revelation of his condition prompted an outpouring.
"I could not hide it any longer. The thoughts, commanders, death everywhere, and the sorrow. I have never experienced such misery."
The usually bold Pex had gone, substituted for this shattered creature.
"You should rest. In a percentage of cases, the dark humours pass without intervention," said Agapito. "A percentage?" asked Pex.
"A small percentage," said Bran.
Pex drew in another wavering breath.
"That is not good enough."
"Then you can fight," said Bran. "You will either banish the condition through effort, or you will die in service."
"What do you want, Pex?" asked Agapito gently. "I do not know, my brothers."
Pex's black eyes were haunted.
"My dreams are full of darkness. My waking hours are chill. Greyness covers everything."
He was ashamed.
"My only comfort is the thought of death. All I want to do is kill."
He looked in dismay between the two brothers.
"I am a warrior of the Emperor. I have slain thousands in the name of the Imperium. But these feelings, my lord..."
He swallowed.
"They appall me. I am no murderer. And yet why do I feel the need to rend at my brothers? Please, my lords,"
he said in tones of utter desperation.
"What am I to do?"